This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is California Congressman Dan Lundgren. He represents the Golden State's 3rd Congressional District, and he joins me now as the successful lead sponsor of H.R. 4. That was legislation designed to repeal a specific provision of the recently passed health care laws, which would have required a whole lot more paperwork on behalf of the IRS from small business owners. The president has already indicated a number of times that he's willing to allow that portion of the law to be repealed. The Senate has already done it. The House has just accomplished that today by a very wide margin, 314 to 112. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for letting me have a chance to talk with you.
Let's just real briefly update our listeners on what this is. It's known as the 1099 provision. Would have required a whole lot more IRS paperwork to be filled out by small business owners. Explain why the paperwork load would have been so much higher.
Well, it's kind of silly what they did. It has nothing to do with health care. They put it in as an ostensible way to raise money to supposedly reduce the cost of this new bill. What it would do, well, first of all, you got to go back to what a 1099 is. It's usually a document that you have to file to make sure that your obligation to pay payroll tax is carried through. So if you hire somebody to do some work for you in your business and you pay more than $600 a year, you got to file this sort of thing. Well, this provision says, no, it's not just if you hire somebody to do something. It's if you hire a contracting company to do something, you got to file a 1099 on the company. And more than that, if you purchase anything, in other words, any business transaction of over $600. So if you're a small business person and you, let's say, buy pizza for your employees every once in a while, if you buy more than $600 of pizza in a single year, you're going to have to file a 1099 on the Pizza Hut or the pizza factory that you buy it from, and you got to get their tax ID in order to do that, and you're obligated to make sure you file it. If you go to a hardware store to buy different pieces of hardware for your business, and it's over $600 a year, you have to do that. So what you would have to do is have an accounting procedure and the people and the time to do it to track every single expenditure you make in an entire year. And if it's over $600, have to file a 1099. That's bad enough. But when you really think about it, if people want to minimize the number of 1099s they file, there's a disincentive for them to go to the local hardware store or go to the local restaurateur. You go to the chains, you go to the big box stores. So in other words, it's a double-edged sword, aimed directly at the heart of small business.
If I remember correctly, Congressman, the Senate version of this was passed as an amendment to an FAA funding bill. So are these two versions identical? Will the House have to take up the FAA bill to get this on the president's desk? How will this all work out procedurally?
Well, actually, since it involves part of the tax code under the Constitution, it's supposed to be initiated in the House of Representatives. So, frankly, they have to take a bill from us is what it turns out to be. It doesn't mean that they have to accept the total bill. But the language of the repeal in this bill is virtually identical in both the House and the Senate versions. And if you can get a vote of 314 to 112, and you can get 76 Democrats to cross over and join Republicans on it, that ought to be a pretty good sign to both the Democrats and Republicans in the Senate that they ought to just take the bill that we have and send it onto the president's desk.
How do you think you got 76 Democrats? Was it just that simple? Did they hear a lot of grief from small business owners? How did they end up on your side here?
Well, I started last April when I introduced this bill, and I had one name on the bill, mine. I had to work very, very hard with the help of small business all over the country. We started with the small business community in my own district and surrounding areas, and it spread all across the country. So literally members were coming up to me and saying, boy, I'm hearing from my small business folks at home. Can I get under your bill? My bill in the form that went to the Ways and Means Committee had 273 co-sponsors. When you realize you only need 218 to pass something in the House, that means you got a pretty good chance of passing it. The Speaker gave us the number H.R. 4, and the first 10 numbers, H.R. 1 to H.R. 10, are reserved to the Speaker for his important bills. So I knew I had a pretty good shot there. And then if you see what happened during the President's State of the Union address, there was only one specific piece of legislation or subject matter that he talked about, and that happened to be repealing this provision of the health care bill. So even though they added some things in the Ways and Means Committee on this, which they call a payback, how do you quote-unquote pay for it, and that's something I don't know why you have to pay for something that never existed before and an obligation which was placed on business that nobody knew about, but that's the way they operate. So there's a pay for in there. that requires people to pay back that subsidy that they get under the health care bill to which they're not entitled. I think there'll be an acceptance of that finally on the Senate side, and we'll get it to the president's desk. But it really took small business people all over the country voicing their concern about this to get us where we are today.
We're talking with California Congressman Dan Lundgren, sponsor in the House of Representatives of this legislation to repeal the 1099 provision on small business owners in the health care law. Sir, one of the things we heard a lot from the majority side on this debate was that removing this will be helpful towards job creation. Explain the connection there.
No doubt about it. Look, I got an email from one of the small business women in my district last night, and she basically said, look, I'm a small business person. I operate my own business. I have 15 employees. I don't have an HR department, an accounting department, all these sorts of things. I am the HR department. I happen to be the administration department. I happen to be the bookkeeping department. And these are her words, it'll be a tremendous burden, both in time and dollars, to send out 1099s to all my vendors. And what she was indicating is it would take time away from her running the business. It would take money away from her investing in her business. It would ultimately hurt her and her employees. This is the kind of onerous, pernicious burdens placed on all business, but particularly small business, that distracts from their ability to sell their product, to provide their services, and to create jobs. That's why it's a job killer. That is the provision in the health care bill. It's an additional burden, an additional cost, something that diverts or distracts from being able to produce your product, sell your services, and hire your employees. It's you know, when you get down to small businesses, they don't have a lot of margins there. They can either make a buck or they can't make a buck. They can either have a margin which allows them to make a profit or not make a profit, a margin that allows them to hire an additional employee. And when you add an additional burden on, which distracts from that, you are in effect killing jobs.
Last question for you, Congressman, before we let you go. Part of the health care plan called for a large number of new IRS agents, and from what I understand, most of that's in connection with the enforcement of the individual mandate. But assuming that this legislation becomes law, how many fewer IRS agents could we be looking at potentially if we don't have to have people looking over all these additional 1099?
Well, guess what? We have no idea because they never figured it out. When we would ask questions over there, first of all, they denied that it had the impact that it did. Then once they acknowledged it had the impact they did, they couldn't give us any straight answer on how they were going to enforce it. They would have millions of 1099 forms to go through. And then to match them up with both sides of a business transaction. And why would they do that? Why would they match them up? The only purpose you can figure out is they wanted to find who was cheating. Now, I believe there are some people who cheat. I do not believe that most businessmen or businesswomen intentionally cheat on their taxes. And so you got this system that is premised on the fact that there's massive cheating going on. And so if you think on your business associate or the person that you do business with somehow having this universal snitch regime is going to get the government billions of dollars, I just reject that notion, and I find it offensive that they would have such a huge impediment or a huge burden on all businesses when we know that there's a small percentage that do cheat. Why punish the law-abiding men and women in business who are the job creators in this gargantuan attempt to somehow gain a few dollars in the federal treasury?
Congressman, a big win for you today, and we'll certainly follow this all the way to the president's desk. Thanks so much for being
with
us.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren represents his state's 3rd Congressional District, lead sponsor of H.R. 4, the plan to repeal the 1099 provision aimed at small business owners. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.